to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, go to pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all you non-members out there, sign up for our free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. In today's podcast, we discuss the power of good photography with Torlando and Aaron Usher, architectural photographer, and also Zach Kinney's professional photographer. This episode is brought to you by Graco and Paint Care.
Welcome to the Paint Ed Show. My name is Torlando and I'm your host. I'm so grateful to be with you guys today. I've got a really awesome show lined up. I actually have two guests this time, and today we're going to be talking all about photography, job site photography, finish work photography. And I've got two brilliant photographers, architectural photographers on the call today. I've got Steve Mason, who has years and years of experience, has worked with many, many contractors. And we actually have Zach Kinney's personal photographer, Aaron Usher, on the show. And so I know that you guys are just so envious of all the beautiful social media ads and the images and things that Zach posts. And so we actually get to have a little sneak peek at the creative genius behind that. So two wonderful guys on the show today. And before we begin, I just want to mention a couple things. One, that this show and others are housed on PCA's new product called PCA Overdrive. This is a Netflix-like experience for content specifically for paint contractors. It is super cheap too. It's $4.99 a month. There's over 200 hours of video content on that show. And guess what? It's free for PCA members. So you got to go ahead and check that out. Now, for me, when I was contracting, photography was really important to me. I felt like it was a great representation of our business. I felt like if they couldn't see the type of photography that we had and the type of work that we had, that they would be less likely to trust us in their house. It's so important to the extent that I remember having a conversation in the paint store. I was talking to a lady. She was getting kind of stuck on her colors. And so I said, I'm going to go over and help her out and see if I can, turn this into a customer. And I told her the name of my company. And she said, oh, I went to your website, but I didn't see any photography or photos that looked like my style, right? She didn't call us because she didn't see photography or photos that represented her specific style. Now, I know you're thinking, well, that's crazy. We can do just about any. I mean, it's paint. We can put it on a wall. It's not that hard. If it's, but what was happening is I was putting all of my modern aesthetic. I like a Scandinavian type design, especially in those days. And, a lot of mid-century modern type stuff. And she had a more traditional vibe. Now, we had a lot of customers who had who were traditional and had that type of thing. And if I just had the photography that represented the kind of home that she wanted to create for herself, she might have given me a call. And so on this show today, we're going to talk a little bit about the value and importance of photography and why you want to up your game so much to it. And we're going to talk about how photography is a tool to get you the kind of work you want to be doing and not just anything that, doesn't have wheels. Okay, that's what a lot of us end up doing. Can you paint that? Does it have wheels? No. All right, we can paint it. That's good. So without further ado, I am going to go ahead and bring on Steve Mason and Aaron Usher. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Torlando.
Hello, Torlando. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to see you as well.
Yes. So, through pure coincidence, I think I've stumbled upon the two of you. You two are our old friends, and you're from the East Coast area. That's right.
Correct.
We're not old. We're just, you know, we're just up there.
Oh, mature. Old friends, that's relative. That has nothing to do with the,
we're experienced.
Yeah, you're experienced. Okay, they're experienced friends. How about that? And so you guys have a ton of experience and time in architectural photography. You've worked with a lot of contractors. I mentioned, that Aaron works with Zach Kenny. Kind of a small world. I met you guys through an online networking group, not through Zach Kenny. And I was having a conversation with Aaron one day, and he said, "Oh yeah, I know a paint contractor. I do photography work for him." I said, "Oh, that's interesting. Who is that?" He says, "You know Zach Kenny?" And I thought, "Well, yeah, who doesn't know Zach Kenny?" So I'm super excited for this show. So excellent. To jump off here, what are some of the things that you see contractors doing that are just not really effective with regards to photo? Because we do, people put photos of their work on Facebook, and a lot of times they're trying to do it themselves. And I want to give our viewers a way to improve their process a little bit. So let's start with the biggest mistake that people are making when it comes to photography. You want to take this first, Steve?
Sure. Well, doing it themselves. I think a lot of times people just don't have an idea of what they want to accomplish. I mean, they may have painted something, so they take a picture of a wall because they're proud of that wall. But the wall fits in with something else. It fits in with the overall scene. You know, Aaron's a master at walking into a house or a building and seeing that whole, it's context. He's putting that whole thing together. I think that's a big mistake. I think a lot of people don't thoroughly think through what they want. They just pick up a cell phone and take a picture. And there's a way that if you stop and think and step back and ask yourself what you want that picture to do, you'll come up with some sort of an answer that may help you.
Also, a lot of the photographs that you put out on social media, really, you have to think of them as branding images. So if you're not putting something that's special out there, somebody else is. So you're losing ground and potentially, market share. One thing, I think the biggest mistake is painting contractors are experienced and, they technically know what they're doing in order to, do the job properly. So they've learned things. They haven't learned how to do photography.
Yeah.
And where somebody's maybe painting for 10 years and then decides to open up their own shop, they've got a lot of background behind them working for someone else. Different experiences. They maybe failed at something, had some successes, but was under somebody else's company. They go out on their own. They try to save a couple of dollars, and then they put up something that's kind of inferior, or it doesn't help their branding, or even worse, it hurts their branding, and they're not known. They're not known as a top guy anymore. So I think that's one of the bigger mistakes.
Yeah. I remember in my early days, I was exactly that. I worked for another guy. It was the Great Recession. He decided to close the shop. That put me out on my own. And my first pictures were taken from a flip phone. And I expected that to be a good representation of my work. And then, a couple of years go on and now we've got the iPhone 3G. And I'm taking pictures of that. Well, that's still not a great camera. It felt like it was at the time. But it really wasn't. And each year that I was taking photos on my own, I could just notice the degradation of the quality of the image, and I would be, nearly embarrassed by the photos of the past, right? And so what you guys are saying is that, if we're trying to save a couple dollars, that could actually hurt our brand in the long run. Whereas if we just hired somebody to come in and do a professional shoot, those pictures can actually last for years and years and be a standing testament to the quality and overall look of your job and the work that you do, right?
I think, go ahead, Aaron.
Okay. Absolutely, Orlando. As an example, I work for an arch. I've been photographing buildings for 41 years. One of my clients I've had for over 30 years, and his the early jobs that we photograph for him are still suitable for him. I mean, he might not show them to the next job because they want to see what happened, what he did last week. But he could, if he does a master book of all his projects over the years, each one of the photos I've taken for him is suitable for inclusion in that book. So, mm-hmm. so the longevity of the photographs has given him so much mileage that the cost per image is negligible over the course of time.
He can do a whole book, and that could, I mean, by the time he retires, does a whole book of his work, and what a great legacy piece that would be to his, to his grandchildren, children and grandchildren and all that. Steve, you had a comment. You want to chime in here?
Yeah. Another thing that people tend not to do, and you may have been the same with you when you started, is especially when you're looking at photographs and trying to think of how to photograph or what you want your website to look like, is to look at not only your competition locally, but who are the guys nationally and what are they doing? And that's something to strive for. How are their pictures? What's their content? How's that different from yours? Because they got to be successful at that level for a reason. And a lot of times, you know, make a message. The story is why.
Yeah. So let's talk about that because, I think we've outlined here a little bit that, well, before we go there, let me backtrack here. If we don't do any photography, what do you think is, I mean, why do you think photography is so important to the paint contractor?
Well, I think it proves something. So it's one thing to say, I'm a great painter, I'm a great construction person. Prove it, show me. And everybody wants to see the beautiful buildings that I've seen from Aaron's work. Prove it. You can see that the quality of the work that's involved. I tend to pay more attention on how they got there, people, what they do, and the intentionality of what they do. Aaron had talked about shooting buildings for over 40 years. I worked for a large corporation and traveled the country, but I'm trying to tell the story of the company. So for them, their biggest asset is their people. So what do people do? How do they differ from other people? How are they smarter, better, more interesting, more committed, more whatever than another mm-hmm. company?
Okay. So this is kind of interesting. So what I'm picking up here is that each of you have certain specializations, and there are important differences, but they add to the whole picture. So Steve, you're a little bit more about documenting the process so that the people can see who is in the house. What is the process of getting a quality paint job look like, and legitimizing the process to the customer, as if to show proof that, hey, we've done houses just like yours. We've done houses, that we've taken a house that looks like this, and through this process that we're showing, not just the before and after, but the middle, showing the process, we're describing the experience that you're going to have. We're telling the story that you're going to have. And then Aaron, you very much like the finished work, the polished off pieces, the stuff that's going to go in a magazine. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah. I go for the glamour shots.
But
Steve's role is super, super critical. And you mentioned Zach Kenny. I want to touch on something that Zach does a lot. He's always filming something, someone spraying paint on a door or prepping their space. People don't know what it takes to do this work. So having that filming and the work that Steve does is super critical to get the people in the funnel to buy your services. Zach had a picture on his Instagram the other day. It showed how his team had left the job site and gone home. And he came mm-hmm. in to see what was going on. and the drop cloths were in perfect position. The paint cans were stored. All the you know, equipment that they had was tidy. It wasn't going to get tripped over if the homeowner had to come through there. If I was a homeowner looking for somebody and I see a guy with a paint truck and there's paint, you know, drooling out the back of the truck and you know, it's a mess, you know, I would question their process. So right. those kind of shots from both the contractor's point of view and also from, you know, branding that Steve can do are so critical. That's like terrific.
Yeah, I force that message as much as I can with painting contractors. There's a guy I work a lot for around here, Lopco Contracting, Tom Lopatowski. And he, you know, I've gone in and just photographed his guys taping with plastic off, you know, so that they don't spill paint or splash or even drop paint on, you know, a beautiful staircase or what have you. But it's all in the details. The devil is in the details. So you've got to make sure you get that. And the cleanup process too, like Aaron said, people want to know and trust you. And that's a great way to do it, to see them setting up and tearing down a job site.
Yeah. What other benefits do you see, Steve, to documenting that process throughout the job?
Well, the benefit to the company, to the, you know, I get an opportunity to show the workforce. And you know, let's be honest, these days, everybody wants to have a diverse workforce. So you get to show people who are given a chance and people who blossom under that chance for different organizations, different companies and what have you. So that's a real benefit. I always also have a conversation with whoever I'm working for, whatever the company, if they're doing anything in the community. And a couple people are very savvy about having me come out and photograph them. You know, maybe this guy is painting some graffiti over, or his guys are blowing it away and, you know, redoing that area. So that's he's giving that away. He just feels that's part of his job, is to give back. That's something that I think, and I don't want to sound mercenary, to take, you know, people take advantage of it, but I do think it's a great message to put out for your company. It's, again, about trust and value.
Yeah. No, that's good. I remember for several years in a row, I would get called into a daycare center. It was more of a preschool, and they would do a thing where they asked me to talk about the painting trade to the kids. And so I'd bring in, you know, tools, I'd bring in the pants and, you know, rollers and brushes. And I'd say, these, you know, painters wear white pants when they paint because, you know, of X, Y, and Z. And I, you know, this is the roller and this is how we reach really tall. And this is a ladder. And those kids loved that. They thought it was so fun and so cool that I would, you know, bring in the different colors, you know, the color palettes. And I'd say, what color do you want your room to be? And they'd be like, and, you know, they just get so excited. But the teacher would always take pictures while I was talking to the kids, and then they'd send me the pictures. And that was a wonderful way to show how I was, you know, participating and being a good member of the community. So that's really great. Now, Aaron, I want to shift to your expertise and okay. Talk a little bit about. Do you have a comment before we go?
Yeah, let me finish up an idea about Steve's work and the work that the contractor can do themselves. A lot of social media wants to have repeated, consistent posts. With the types of work that Steve was describing, you're more educating the viewer versus selling them. So if you have three or four times as much education material to the one beautiful finished photograph that shows, you know, it's more of a sales tool, you get, again, people to know and trust you. So if you're constantly showing beautiful tape job, I mean, many of you viewers are probably, you know, will go in and spray a kitchen and they tape off the whole room. And, you know, if that's kind of sloppily done, it could work against you. So if they're doing a great job and you document it and you show, hey, we can control the airflow in your space, so you won't get any fumes in the part that you're living in.
Yeah.
How important is that? You know, especially this last year, everyone's under lockdown.
Yeah.
Those techniques allow the paint crews to actually work during lockdowns because they couldn't interact with the families anyway. But you put the get the airflow going just right, and everybody can work, and it protects the rest of the house and the family safety. So I think those are good. The key thing is to have a lot of education with a little bit of selling.
Yeah.
And as they know and learn about you, they're going to get special tips, and they're going to know and trust you. And there'll be some people who will do the job themselves and suffer through the results. And there'll be other people who say, you know what? These guys know what they're doing. I can't do it as well as they can do. I need a good job. Let's call them up.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So let's shift to that little bit of selling that you mentioned, the finish work. Because Aaron, I want to talk about the finish work and the value and the opportunities that I think we may not be thinking about. I mean, most people I think know that, well, you put the images on your website and you put them on social media, and that's about the long and short of it. Are there other ways to use finish work? And what is the true benefit and value of having beautifully shot finish work?
One of the key things for me is you want to show people the work you want to do. So even if you don't do a lot of it yet, if you aspire to shooting like high-end fine paints of Europe for interior designers, well, you can't be painting a shed out in the back somewhere and expect them to understand. It's kind of like relates back to the story you told earlier.
You know, right.
You just don't get the work. If you show them one thing, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to be able to. And it takes a long time to change someone's mind like that. So I would really urge people to get good work, especially of the work that they want to do the most of. Naturally, we all do something that, you know, we got to pay the employees, we got to get the rent paid, all those kind of things. So you do some bread and butter work. Yeah. But if the majority of your work, and the more you market to that crowd and they know and trust you, you'll get more and more and more of it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it happened with me. I used to shoot a lot of corrugated warehouses for a company, and 30 years ago, that's all I ever got. You know, they sent me all around the place. And finally, I met an architect who let me shoot something, and it got published in 80 magazines across the country. Wow. And I went on to work for that client for 25 years till they retired. And it was good stuff. Almost every job got published. And that leads me into a second thing that I think important. If you can get work that's suitable for publication, there's all kinds of magazines who are aching to have their pages filled with your work. Now, naturally, you don't, you know, a local painting contractor doesn't need to have Architectural Digest feature their work. No chance that's going to happen. But
yeah,
the smaller regional and local magazines will pick up these articles. And if you tell a story, and Steve was really excellent, you know, with his stories and telling the story, and then you finish it with a nice photography, the magazines want to pick that up. And now you've added Provence and expertise. You're showing your expertise, and your work will, the return on the investment for that one shoot, which is going to be exponential.
Yeah.
So. It's interesting. You know, in terms of differentiation between the two of us, I've walked into some beautiful houses with Aaron as we're working, and I'd go, I'd shoot this, but he'll pick a different angle. And then when I look at the angle, it's obviously better. But the other thing is, you know, you can't, Aaron's entire business, although he might love to do Architectural Digest style, beautiful homes, and but you can't always do that. I've walked into places with him and we're working together and I'm going, ooh, how do you make this look good? And that's the talent too. That's he makes that look real. It's in the details too. These little things that he'll do that I'll go, oh, so he's telling in a way the story of the house, but a completed house, but he's telling the story, especially if it's a house that's going to be sold, that you, if you live here, it can look like this. This can be your dream place. And that's a real talent. That's great.
Yeah, I was this morning, I roll out of bed and I my general morning routine is I roll out of bed and I look at the news, and I look at news articles online and different things, and I'm quite fond of architectural magazines, interior design magazines, and those types of things, and I found this article through dwell.com, which is one of my favorite websites. And they had a story of it, and it just said the name of the article, the title said, you know, Seattle couple renovates a home for indoor and outdoor entertainment. And so it was like the marketer in me was like, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good SEO right there. So if I'm a Seattle based, you know, business and there's somebody or a homeowner that lives in Seattle and you know, I'm typing in, you know, things into Google and that's popping up. And then when I started reading the article and looking at the photos, it was really in one of the best ways that I've ever seen. It was really telling the story of what this couple wanted to do. They were interior designers, but wanted to take this small bungalow that was run down and they wanted to add on to it and make it their own. And most of the photos actually had the family in the shots. So since the main idea of the article was that they wanted to entertain in their home, they showed how the family was doing it. And in the process, the home itself became this beautiful backdrop to this life and this story that was being told that made the reader want that, right? And I think that if we think of photography and we think of what we're doing in a different way, if we don't think of it as, I just want to show this wall, which is, you know, it's interesting to me, but it's not interesting to anybody else. It's not interesting to my customer, right? It's more the backdrop of what's going to be happening within the walls. But if I tell this story, and then I throw in, and what was cool about this article is it wasn't just pictures of the people in the home. They did take the time to do a beautifully orchestrated shot of just the room, just the house. And so it was just like really nice ebb and flow of, you know, bringing in humans and bringing in a story, but then highlighting the beauty of the architecture and the story of the house itself. And so I think that this is really, what you guys are bringing to the table of this conversation is really interesting and important. I think that our listeners can really learn a lot. I want to ask you guys to give us some tips in terms of, you know, two things. One, the first one we'll talk about is if we just absolutely don't have the budget to hire a professional photographer, how can we get started on our own? And then after that, we'll talk about what we should look for in a photographer if we do want to get serious and hire one. So, Steve, can you first start and just tell us, give us some tips of the trade to get better photography on our own?
The two things I think of quickly, one is intentionality. So you kind of hit that a little bit a minute ago. You were talking about when you were describing what's going on. You have to think about not what you want to put on your website, not the image you want, like the wall you talked about, but you want to think about how other people are going to view it. So you have to think about not you, but who's on the other side of the screen all the time. And that'll be one thing because sometimes you're going to have to talk to friends, relatives, and say, what do you think of this? And if they're good friends, they'll be honest. Like Aaron will tell me the truth all the time. This sucks. The other part,
I've never said that once.
the other part is you can do better. You can get lenses, accessory lenses. I have a joke when people ask what the difference between a professional photographer and an amateur is, and I say 10 feet, because people just don't get close enough. They'll take a picture of you, but there's all this junk around. Whereas if they walked in and maybe the picture that, you know, what you see on your screen now is the appropriate amount of real estate that you want to talk about. So they confuse space and intent. There's, you know, you've got to walk in closer to get the thing you're talking about, not an overall view where people are wondering what you're talking about. And I mean, talk in a visual sense, not an actual verbal sense. Those are a couple of quick tips.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. But if there's no money in the budget to do marketing, you need to take a class on business coaching or something. Get a coach, because every job you do, you should have at least a small percentage delegated towards marketing. You got to get more people. You got to get more customers. How are you going to do it? It takes money. You should build that into your budget. And the other thing, like Steve talks about intentionality, I suggest putting the camera on a tripod. Now, what that does is it means you can step away from it and look at what you're composing. And you can walk into the scene, you can move something around. Maybe there's a chair that's kind of skewed funny. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that. And you're doing it all from the angle that you've chosen. So if you leave the camera where it is, you obviously can get back to the same spot. So I go around and I move props and chairs and furnishings and fix, you know, things like light bulbs. Yesterday, my photo of project to photograph had the lampshades that have a little spring to them and they go over the bulb itself. Well, they're always crooked, drives me nuts. So I had to stop and go and make some adjustments. And there was a plant had a dead leaf in the foreground right in front of the camera. I could turn the plant, those kind of things. So if you're on the tripod, you become more conscious of the details and really, you just compose an image better when you don't have to, like, just walk up, snap a picture, and 3 seconds later, you've already got 8 pictures, and you don't like any of them because, you know, you should have been higher, should have been lower, should have been to the left, all those kind of things. So that's my thought.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, from Aaron's point of view, you know, nowadays you can look at what's on your camera, on your phone, or on a laptop, or what have you, but you know, in Aaron's world, more so than in mine, he might be moving something 2 degrees or 3 degrees. So a leaf might be touching into a certain area and you have to turn that potted plant, or the wheels of a chair aren't all quite lining up. And the other part of that is, you know, the picture frames, which may visually be straight, but the camera angle makes them look not so straight. So sometimes you may have to cheat it a little bit. For my life, it's more run and gun. I'll have to run into a place. I might have 5 minutes to shoot something. So I've got to get something quickly and authentic in a very brief time. Whereas he'll hammer it down, you know, for quite a while and make it perfect. But that's what makes it better.
Yeah. One more thought I had, because I don't know how much time we have. We do something called cost sharing. Now, if you're a painting contractor, you're doing a high-end project, there's other players in the project that probably want photographs also. The general contractor, the architect, the interior designer. Mm. You put those together and divide the fee, the cost of a shoot. Everyone gets better pictures and they save money.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful thing. I try to do that, you know, quite often, because it helps everyone. And then you get them to tag you every time they use it. So it's like free advertising for the rest of us.
That's brilliant.
But also, there's so many places that you can use the photos. You know, naturally, you got a website and maybe Facebook or Instagram, but all of your viewers should probably have a house page if they don't already. And I never see painters on LinkedIn. And why not be the one person who starts doing that and makes a killing. So, so far, those are a few things there. But having the longevity of the images we talked about earlier, I think, is a good thing, too. So if you do good images early, you'll have a whole big library that you can then revisit. If your Instagram is you haven't done any good jobs lately, you pull a shot from 10 years ago. If it looks appropriate and, you know, topical to some story that you want to tell, you've got the image there to use. So you get more ROI for it.
And yeah, there's more of that. Remember every single picture that you've posted, especially across a decade. So
Aaron's got a distinct advantage there too, because when you're shooting a house, you don't need a model release. So he's called me up and said, "Hey, Anderson Window called me today, and I sold a picture from 6 years ago that I already got paid for, and I made X amount of bucks." That's great. You know, my pictures with a lot of people, I can't necessarily do that. I may own them that I can use them and put them on my website, but I can't resell them for marketing purposes with somebody's face unless I get explicit permission to do that, which is often they won't say yes, or it's hard to get.
Right. So, okay, let's shift then, you know, with the time that we got. I'm convinced that at least once or twice a year, I want to bring out a photographer, or I'm ready to just, you know, bring them out every month. Because I imagine there are listeners across the spectrum where they're like, yes, I want to photograph every job, and I want to, or there are some that are just say, you know, once or twice a quarter, this sounds like a good idea. What can you tell us to help us know how to find a photographer? Because that's actually not very easy, finding a photographer. I mean, there are a lot of photographers out there, but they're not always going to be able to do the architectural work. And that's what I think is important to discuss.
Well, you could easily just Google architectural photographers in the city or state that you live in. It's going to come up, people, and then you have to look at them. And half of the wedding photographers will photograph a ballroom where the wedding is going to be. And now there are, you know, just before the wedding, they take 3 minutes and they take a picture of it for the bridal album. Now they're an architectural photographer. They're not the ones to go with. Mm. You want to go with somebody who's got a long history of solving the problems inherent with architectural work. So if you Google it, or if you go to your house page, you can also essentially Google it in house, and you will find people who are, and you can also, if you have a favorite architect or interior designer, you can ask them who they've used, so, and get a referral, and they'll say, oh, you know, he's great, but he's temperamental. All right, who else you got? You know.
Yeah,
it's him. So, he's temperamental. I'm not temperamental.
That's a review of each other, isn't it?
I'm just grumpy in the morning.
He doesn't drink coffee. I think to get to that message, I think consistency is another thing. If you look at somebody's website, and you should do your research, and you should look at a lot of websites if you're going to hire a photographer, they may have, like Aaron said, a wedding photographer who has two or three pictures of ballrooms or what have you. But if you look at good architectural photography, it'll become obvious what is good architectural photography, good lines, you know, somebody who can walk into a room and see the best angle, the angle that the architect designed it for, and make it look even better than it is. There are ways to do it. The other thing is, I think any photographer should be aware of your branding, of your consistent message that you're trying to portray. You know, it gets to what good are you doing in the community or what have you. For me, if I walk into a big corporation to photograph for the first time, I'll look at their mission statement, and that gives me some sort of a guidance to get a sense of what direction to shoot from. And all those things, although both of us have been doing this long enough where we have a good understanding of the branding of whatever, you know, the builders, the architects, or what have you, in this case, to get that right the first time. We're not going to show stuff that looks bad. We may even say to the client, you know, it's not a good idea to have me shoot this. We've even walked away from jobs and said, you know, it's not ready today. You got to have me come back in a couple of weeks or what have you. And that saying no is one of the hardest things we also have to learn. I've always said that, especially when you start off in photography, learning to say no is one of the hardest things you can do because you want every job you can get.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So if I'm getting this right, you know, you can't really go wrong with, you know, how you would find any service worker. You know, you Google it, you find, you know, you look at the portfolio, you want to find the work that that you feel like is going to represent your work really well. And you really want to find an architectural photographer, one that really specializes that and understands that field, where they essentially have that practice, right?
Yes. And you might want to talk to three people just because everyone's different and you might get along better with a 30-year-old woman than you do a 60-year-old guy for some reason. You know, like they might have more sympathetic to each other, whatever. So you don't always just take the first one that is free the next day to photograph for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to find the fit.
The other thing is you don't want a yes photographer who walks in and, you know, you tell him to shoot this and he sets up and shoots that. Because a lot of times with both of us, we're going to say, well, why? I mean, don't you think this, if you walked over here, this is a better angle. What are you expecting to do with these pictures? Where are they going to go? And maybe the thing you're talking about isn't right for that purpose. So expertise comes out.
That reminds me of an old story. I had a job with an architect and, you know, we had to document a certain area by an elevator in an office building. And I selected a location and did a preview. And he said, well, can you try it over here? I like it over here. So I take it and do another preview. He said, nah, that's not right over here. We ended up doing 7 different spots. And then we ended up exactly where I started, you know, and I said, well, that one cost you 45 minutes. Now you want to listen to me now?
Time is money. So is ego.
Yeah. So as we wrap up the show here, if you guys could just paint a picture for me of what ultimate benefits and outcomes will happen if you just go, if you decked this out, And you hired, you know, folks like Steve, folks like Aaron to come in and help you build your portfolio. What will the contractor's life look like if they have this level of photography going on?
They'll be wealthier.
Guaranteed.
Or your money back. I think people do a job because they love the job. You know, if you're a painting contractor and you don't love painting, you better get the heck out. But if you like what you do, you want to do the best you can do. And ergo, each year you want to move up the food chain until you're the best, most desirable painter in the area. And so by documenting your work and investing a little bit in your marketing, social media kind of stuff, building a library, you have the goods to convince, you know, anyone can be convinced that your team can do the job. And then it's going to come down to are you available when they want you to paint? Are you exactly the best price, the good price, the value? You know, you got to know your value and where you want to position. Neither Steve or I will ever be the lowest price in the field that we're doing. I have no interest in being the lowest price. I also don't want to be the highest price. I want to be the right price so that it has a certain value to everyone. And I must have 8 or 10 clients for over 30 years each working with me. And we've offered the value solution that they just call me up and they don't look for a new person every time they need another job done. They just say, Aaron's my guy. Right. They got a guy.
Because Aaron always gives them what they need and what they want, but also what's best for the situation. I think we both try to do that because we, as experienced, we have an understanding of what we're photographing and how that fits into their purpose.
Absolutely.
So you have to, you know, anybody who's doing this, if they're going to pay a fair amount of money for either of us, they've thought, they didn't just say, you know, somebody just didn't say to them, you need a photographer. And then they started looking and used us. They may have thought about what they want. So they're halfway there. And we may fill in the blanks and, you know, carve out the corners and make it round and soft or whatever. But, you know, they're already thought about it. They're open generally to some compromise and some information and some way to get them to where they want to go.
Yeah. It's trust. It's trust. It's collaboration. Trust. Awesome. Well, gentlemen, that's the end of our show. And I thank you so much for being on. Where do we look at your work online? Where can we find you guys?
SteveMasonPhotographer.com.
Got it.
And mine would be AaronUsher.com.
Awesome. This is easier. Also, this A for Aaron comes up. He'd be first guy in the phone book.
I am.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much again for being on, and we will look forward to looking at your work and see. I'm going to send you guys backstage, and we'll talk soon.
One last thing from me to Orlando. If any of your viewers, you know, want to reach out to me, obviously from the website, you can get my phone and or my email. But I'm always, you know, if they want to question me about something, I'm willing to help.
Of course.
Same here.
Of
course. But I'm awesome. More likable than him.
All right, bye, guys. Oh, boy.
Although he's
All right. So that's our show about photography with Steve Mason and Aaron Usher. So grateful for these guys for hopping on and sharing their wisdom. A lot of really great nuggets in there for the value and the importance of photography. I am so thoroughly convinced that adding professional photography to your repertoire is not only important for your current branding and effort to promote your work today, but I truly believe it stands as a testament over time. I'm just envisioning what my future would have looked like if I had this beautiful book of all of the wonderful jobs that we did through the years, and that it was all done through beautiful photography and not just my flip phone from 2008. I'm kind of living in a little bit of regret because of that. So I think that it'd be really great for you to invest in these things. One last tip before I go. In terms of when you are putting your work on a blog, one great thing to do with your website is, I know that so many people are like, a blog, what am I supposed to do with a blog? Who would ever read a blog about painting? Well, I recommend doing project stories for each of the jobs that you do. Go to the job site, take these before, middle, and end pictures, and start and ask your customers questions. Interview them and say, why did you decide to paint? What were some of the hurdles that you were coming? How did you find us, and why did you choose us? And then you have little quotes that you can pull as you're constructing this blog with the different pictures. And then you talk about the process of what you did, and you have those pictures to confirm and show the process. You can talk about the paints that you use. You can talk about the colors that you use. And these project stories stand as a witness to the level of proficiency and quality work that you do. And here's a big key that nobody's doing that they just absolutely should. At the bottom of the blog, put the scope of the work and what it costs to do that job. What will happen is people will go in, they'll see this beautiful thing, and then they'll start to see how much it actually costs to do work. And so by the time they get to you on the estimate, they have an idea of what their job is going to cost. They don't expect it to be exact. They just want a ballpark. It moves the price from the end of the sales process all the way to the consideration stage when people are deciding, am I going to do the work today or is this a next year project? So that is my tip for you wrapping up this show. Please join us on our Facebook group, the Paint Ed group. There are so many wonderful conversations going on there. A lot of great pictures of people's work and the great stuff that they're doing. Come and join the conversation on Facebook. That's the Paint Ed group. And this is my show. or our show, the industry show, Paint Ed. Thank you for watching.
Paint Ed podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and is made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.